who's excited to be in the house of the Lord today? Yes. Listen, before we jump into this next series, I just got to tell you, last week we seen God do some miracles. I'm telling you what, it was unbelievable. We saw over four services, almost 2,500 people packed this place out. That is crazy, y'all. But more importantly, we saw 54 adults and 8 kids, so 62 people last Sunday gave their life to Jesus. That's why we do what we do. Amazing. And today we kick off this brand new series called Overcome, and we're going to be talking about the next few weeks, some things in our life that we need to overcome and get victory in, so you don't want to miss it. I'm telling you, it's going to be a great series, and this series is based on John 16:33 that says this, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Folks, listen, I know what we long for more than anything in our life is just peace, that peace, that everything's okay, that we have peace in our life. But then Jesus says this statement, and I don't like this part in the Bible. There's some things in the Bible I don't like. This is one of them. He says this in this one sentence. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. Ah, really? You're going to have heartache. You're going to have trials and tribulation and testing and temptation in your life. But then he doesn't leave us there. Look what he says here in the rest of the verse. But take heart, take courage, because I have, say it with me, overcome the world. You want to be an overcomer in your life? Because that's what we're going to be talking about over the next few weeks. I'm telling you, we believe that God's going to do something great today. We've already seen tons of people saved in the first service, and I believe God's going to save people today in the second service as well. So come on, let's just pray and ask God to do something great in our midst. Father, thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy, your goodness, your faithfulness, your righteousness. And God, your word tells us because you have overcome the world, Father, we could become overcomers as well. So for the next few minutes, I pray you'll calm our hearts, our minds. You would get rid of any distraction for the next few minutes so that our eyes can be fully focused on Jesus. For if we see Jesus this morning, if we will encounter him in his presence, we will never leave here the same. For it's in Jesus' name we ask and we pray. Come on now. And everybody said, amen, 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 amen. You may be seated. Look at the person sitting beside you. Say, you look good today. Tell them, say, you look good today. You look good. Look back at them and say, you don't look bad yourself. You don't look bad yourself. Got your hair all did up looking good. Right? Wow, we're going to jump into this today. How many of you worry? Can you get your hand up? You worry. Come on, don't be. Some of you are worrying because I got to ask you to put your hand up, right? You worry. We all worry over things in our life and things that may be anxious or it may be fearful or worry. And how do you overcome that, right? I mean, how do you actually do those things and overcome being, you know, a worrier in your life? Because when you look at the statistics, listen to this, worry, stress is a multi-billion dollar industry. A multi-billion dollar industry because of the stress and the worry in our life. I mean, when you think about all the counselors that people get paid for being counselors, listen, I talk to a counselor once a month. I have a counselor I talk to once a month. Someone's like, I don't need a counselor in my life. You're the one who needs it, right? Once a month, I said, listen, I'm not addicted to porn. I don't beat my wife. I've got a great marriage. Life is good. But could you help me mentally, emotionally focus and walk through things in my life? Because we all have them. Like the coach, like we have that counseling coach in our life, but we have to pay them. It's a multi-billion dollar industry. I mean, think about the medication that we take. When we take about medication for stress and worry and blood pressure and all these things in our life. Now, I'm not anti-medication. I haven't taken it yet because I haven't all have teenagers. You know what I'm talking about, right? When they become teenagers, so I'm not on it. Yeah, but listen, it's just a multi-billion dollar industry. And then think about the hospital bills. How many people go to the hospital because of stress and worry that affects their heart and their breathing and everything in their life? It affects them. It's a multi-billion dollar business and industry. And so I thought, you know, we need to address this. We need to talk about this. And how do we overcome this in our life? So I looked at the top maybe 5 to 6 things that most people get worried about or stress over. You know what the number one thing that people worry about, statistically proven, people have took, you know, surveys, the number one thing that people worry about is money. Is money. How I'm going to make it, how I'm going to spend it, how I'm going to save it, how I'm going to pay the bills. And I just want to go in and tell you right now, I'm going to take a commercial break for my boy Joe Sangu. He's coming to the house today. Joe is like Dave Ramsey on steroids. I mean, literally. You think I'm passive. Homeboy, I'm telling you what, he drinks coffee just to calm him down. I mean, literally. He is crazy, and he's going to be here next week. He's one of my great friends. He's a financial coach to me. He helps me when I have things, but I'm telling you what, he's coming next week, and we'll talk about this. How do we overcome these financial issues in our life, our financial debt, our problems in our life? But listen, here's what's really good about it. At 4 o'clock, completely free, child care provided, no reason not to be here unless Jesus is coming back. You know what I'm saying? If he came back, then you don't have to be here, right? But listen, 4 o'clock. It's completely free. He's going to do a financial learning experience where he will practically walk you through step by step how to win with your money. Watch this. How many of you would like to have a little bit more money in your pocket at the end of the month? Would you raise your hand? Be here next week, right? How would you make sure that you have enough money you're going to have it towards retirement? How do you know if you're going to have enough, you know, whatever it may be to start that business or to go on that trip or buy that car or fund that dream? Listen to me, college students. The average debt that when you graduate college is between $30,000 and $40,000. You need to be here. Because listen, the day that you walk an aisle and you grab her hand, bro, and you look her in the eyes and you say, I love you and I do, guess who's going to be there with you? Sally Mae. And you ain't getting rid of her. She will follow you till you die. You can't even file bankruptcy and get rid of your student loans. So you've got $30,000 to $40,000 of student debt. She's got $30,000 to $40,000 student debt. And you think you're going to like, whoa, we're going to make it on love. You better get on a budget. Right? And budget's not a cuss word. You got to learn these. Listen, he is going to practically help you walk you through. One of the biggest stressors in people's life is money. We're looking into that, so we want to help you, right? And it help me. And even if you're here today and you're going, man, listen, I'm working. I'm doing good with my money. My money's good. Life is good right now. We're living high on the hog. I don't even know what that means, but you know what I'm talking about? Like, life is good. Listen, you still need to be here. So let's pack this place out. We have child care that's going to be provided for you. Starts at 4 o'clock. Text 797979. And I'm telling you what, sign up. It's going to be awesome. I can't wait to be part of that as well. So money is what people stress about. Here's the second one. Work. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you love your job? How many of you hate your job? Most people can't stand their job. They hate their job. They hate what they do, but they've got to go to work because they worry about the money. You know what I'm saying? It's just a vicious cycle. Most people can't stand stress. Work brings stress in their life. The third thing was relationships. The thing that's supposed to bring us joy now brings us worry and brings us stress and can bring you down. Health. Right, as you get older, you start having health problems, you start hurting and aching in places, and next thing you know, it's like, oh my gosh, my side hurts, I'm gonna die. And you begin to worry about it, right? Must be showing my age, I'm 40, right? So that's how it works. Like, you begin to worry about your health, and you begin to worry about the things that are around you, and that stresses your body. And then the fifth one was change. People don't like change. People don't like when you have to make a decision to change something. They don't want to be changed. They want to keep it constant, right? They don't want change. And change stresses people and worries people to death. And then the last one, I just threw this one in because it was the sixth one. I just thought it was funny. But the sixth one is media overload. When you have so much media overload in your life because you weren't wired to take in all that stuff, all that stimuli, when you have all that overload in your life, it begins to stress you and worry you. That's why I don't watch the news. I mean, goodness gracious, you turn the news on, 11 o'clock news, right before Jimmy Fallon. You know what I'm saying? You watch 11 o'clock news, so-and-so shot so-and-so, and so-and-so shot so-and-so, and someone died here, and someone. I'm like, what? Oh my goodness, we filled our mouths with all this negativity. And then you watch the Main Street media, right? You go to CNN to see what people don't like about the Republicans. And then you go to Fox News to see what they don't like about the Democrats. I don't even know what independents watch. If you're independent, let me know. I don't know what they watch. It's always negative, and it's always just, And we feed our minds this stuff all the time, and we worry about what's going on in the world. We worry about what's going on in the economy. We worry about what's going on in our life, and we figure, how are we going to make it? It's overload in our life. Now, I want you to hear me, please. It is not God's will for you and me, for us, to live, and don't miss this word, in constant stress. Notice I said constant, because you're human, And there's going to be times in your life that you're going to trigger a thought and hands are going to sweat, your heart's going to beat fast, and you're going to get a little dizzy, a little anxious, because you're human. And the stress hormones are going to be released chemically in your body, and you're going to feel it. But it's not God's for us to live in constant stress and worry in our lives. So how do we fix that physically, emotionally, and spiritually? Because if you're like me, you try to change things in your life that don't make you worry or get stressed, and as soon as you do, bam, something new comes at you. Am I preaching to myself this morning? Does anybody ever have a struggle with that and problem with that? And when you sit and you think about these things, and then you hear Jesus says in John 14, he says, "Peace I give to you." I'm like, receive it, Lord, you know, give me peace. Because that's what we long for. So here's my question. How do you become an overcomer when it comes to worry? How do you overcome worry in your life? I will tell you this, it won't happen overnight. And so what I'm going to do today is I'm going to share with you, if you have your Bibles, go with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. This is the worry passage in the Bible. If you struggle with worry, this is the passage. I knew Matthew 6, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks about it too, about worry. That's a go-to passage. But this is what I want to go to. It's Philippians chapter 4. So if you don't have a Bible, grab your smartphone, get on your Bible app. I'm using the New Living Translation. Go to Philippians chapter 4. Because what I'm going to show with you today is straight from the Word. Didn't make these things up. You're going to see it right in the passage today. Is these are five practical tips, habits that you can start encountering in your life that you can overcome worry. That these are things you can start today, as you leave here, to begin to overcome worry in your life. So if you're ready to get started, say, let's go. Here we go. All right, here's the first thing. Look at verse 6. Here's the Apostle Paul talking about worry. And here's what he has the audacity to tell us. You ready? Look what he says in verse 6. Don't worry about anything. So my first point, this is so profound, it's going to blow you away right here. First point, look what it says. It says first point, write this down. Don't worry about anything. Really? You mean I get no wiggle room? You mean can I just a little bit worry about my health? Can I just a little bit worry about my kids? Because we all want to worry about our kids, right? Can I just worry a little bit how I'm going to pay $40,000 back in student loan debt? Like, can I worry just a little bit? No, he says don't worry about anything. Well, when you really understand the word worry, that seems to make sense. Because what he says is worry means to strangle. It means to choke the life out of you. When you worry, it will choke the life out of you. Listen, when I worry, guess what worry does? Worry magnifies the problem. When you begin to worry about something, it just magnifies the problem. Some of you have known that, right? You've worried about something, and it didn't happen the way you thought it happened. You're going, why was I so upset about that? Why did I get so worked up about that? Why was I worried about that? See, Paul's letting you know something. Worry can't fix your problems. For instance, right now, you can do this right now if you want to, or you can wait till you get home. But make a list of maybe the top five things you worry about. It's okay. Nobody cheating, looking over at your shoulder, right? What's the top five things? We all have things in our life, right? What's the top five things that you worry about all the time? What are they? What would that list look like? And when you look at that list, watch this. If there's anything in it that has to do with your past, which that's things that people worry about, their past. We'll talk through that. If it's your past, listen, worrying can't change the past. If what's on your list is future, worry can't control the future. So now I'm caught in the middle. My list has to deal with my past. My list has to deal with tomorrow. But the Bible tells me worry can't change my past and it can't control tomorrow. So if you know that, then what do? Don't worry about anything because it will affect you physically. Listen, worry can't even make you live longer. But it can shorten your life because the damage it could do in your body. Now, I talked about worry. I talk about it a lot because it's one thing that I struggle with too and work through. So listen, I'm preaching to myself today. We're learning this together. These are practical things that I'm put together as well that I begin to practice. And we are human and you'll have those bumps in your life. But I'm talking about a constant stress or worry in your life. But I said this several years ago and it still sticks with me is that we are the only creatures in all of God's creation that doesn't trust the Creator. Have you noticed that? Jesus says, the birds of the air, they have barns to store their nest in, and your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more important than the birds of the air? Look at the lilies of the field, and Solomon, all of his riches and all of his glory, doesn't even clothe himself the way the lilies do in the field, yet they don't worry about how they're clothed. Why do you worry? The birds don't worry going, I just wonder today if God's going to bring an insect for me to eat. I'm just worrying about it. They trust. We're the only creation that don't trust the Creator will take care of us and provide for us. And Peter says this in 1 Peter, cast your care, cast your anxiety on me, for I care for you. So the first thing he says that we got to learn to practice is not worry about anything. And that takes time. I had to capture that thought. But then he goes in verse 6, the rest of it, and he says this. Instead, pray about everything and tell God what you need. So here's the second habit we got to learn how to practice. You ready? Pray about everything. We need to be praying about everything. Don't panic. You need to pray. Don't worry. You need to worship. If you would pray more than you worry, you would worry much less. We need to talk to Him about it. We need to think through these things. God, listen, I know what's going on in my life. You already know this, Lord. You know my heart. I'm doing my best. I'm focusing on you right now. You know, I got things in my past. I got things I'm trying to control tomorrow. I know I can't control it. Rationally, I know that, but I feel. Right? We get this all the time. And this is where we begin to trust God. And there's times, all times in my life, I say, God, I trust you in spite of how I feel right now. Why? Because my feelings will lie to me. And I got to stand before, I stand there and I say, God, I trust you. Even though I feel this way, I'm going to trust you. You know what that's called? Faith. In spite of how you feel, you step out and you go, and you step out and you do anyway. And so I'm going to talk to God. God, you know this is a big thing in my life. I know I shouldn't worry about this. I don't want to worry about this, so I'm going to bring it to you. So I need you to help me. I'm going to talk to you about the things that are in my life. I need this. I want you to go. You already know what I need. You already hold tomorrow in your hand. But you know what? I'm going to make an effort to talk to you about this. Because God, when I talk to you about it, it kind of brings a little bit more comfort. It brings a little more peace. See, we always wait to the last second, to the worst case scenario before we pray. You hear people say this all the time. Well, all you can do now, Brother Daniel, is pray. That's all you could do in the first place. What do you mean that's all you can do now? That's all we could have done in the first place. It's just pray and talk to Jesus about it. Listen, Jesus didn't die and get up out of the grave just so that we could walk around being stressed. He did that for you. So if Jesus can conquer the grave, don't you think he can help you in your finances? Don't you think he can fix your marriage? Don't you think he can help you in parenting? Yes. So we got to turn to him. And this is a big lie from the enemy that maybe God's not for us or God ain't going to help you or God don't care about you. We need to talk to him and pray about everything. So follow this pattern. Don't worry about anything. That's a stretch. That's hard. No wiggle room. But we're going to keep our mind fixed on Jesus, right? And we're going to pray about everything. We're going to pray about everything. And this is one of the key. This is the big one. It's the third thing. If you're taking notes, write this down. And we got to thank God in all things. There is something about having an attitude of gratitude. You ever notice happy people? Happy people are grateful people. You meet someone unhappy, they're ungrateful. They are not thankful whatsoever. So watch what he says. Pray about everything. He says, don't worry about anything. And then he says at the end of verse 6, look here, Philippians 4, and thank him for all he has done. Thank him for all he has done. He says, we're not thanking God for the problem. We're thanking God in the problem. I'm not thanking God for cancer. I'm thanking God in cancer. You see what I'm saying? There's a big difference there. I'm not thanking God for the divorce, but I can praise God in the divorce. There's a big difference. And I love what he says, thank God for what he has done. You remember that little song, Count Your Blessings, Name Them One by One? That's what we need to begin to do. Because when I begin to worry my life, I stop and I look, I say, but God, look what you've brought me through. I remember this in my life, and you brought me through it. And I remember this, and you brought me through it. When you begin to worry, you should stop and say, God, I thought I couldn't make it past middle school, but praise Jesus, you got me through it. Can I get a witness? Right? and then I graduated college. That was a miracle, made the parents happy, right? But you got me through this, and you got me through the divorce, and you got me through bankruptcy, and you got me through sickness. Why can't you not fix this now? So I'm gonna look back and at your faithfulness to be faithful today. So we got to begin to thank God. You know what? I'm just going to thank you, Lord. I know right now my heart's beating out of my chest, and I know that I begin to worry about these things, but I'm going to talk to you about it, God. You tell me if I come talk to you about it, you're going to give me peace. And you know what? I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to trust you. In fact, I'm going to begin to thank you. Thank you that I'm alive today. Thank you that I have breath today. Thank you that my kids are healthy today. Thank you that my marriage is going great today. Thank you that things are great today, right? Because I'm going to praise you for what you've done in my life. Now listen, you ready for this? As the old preacher says, easy to preach, hard to live. It's easy for you to stand up for a pastor. You got the microphone. Right? As you think I have some direct special connection to God and I have a red phone in my office. Now I can pick it up and be like, hey God, what's up? What's going on? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? That's not how it works. I go through the same things that you guys go through as well. And I practice it. In fact, I talk to my mom, I talk to my sister, and I keep telling them, not worry about things. And you kind of look at them and say, hey, won't you practice what you preach, bro? I mean, I've been thinking about my mom. My mom, she's here with us today. One of the strongest women I know. 4 weeks ago, diagnosed with breast cancer. The very next day, my oldest sister, her daughter, diagnosed with breast cancer. 2 weeks later, her husband, my stepdad, passes away unexpectedly. We wasn't ready for that. This week, we have the memorial service for him. May 4th, double mastectomy. And I'm looking at my mom and say, don't worry. God's going to get us through this. And I'm sitting there going, well, I got to practice what I preach. What is worrying going to fix? What can worry? Worrying is not going to get rid of cancer. Worrying ain't going to bring my stepdad back. Worrying ain't going to fix the problems. So I got to go, God, I got to trust you. And I thank you for your goodness. You got us through that. You'll get us through this. And we have to hang on the promises of God. That's all we have. So trust me, I'm preaching to myself. I had to practice this even last night. I get before God and say, God, I've captured this thought. I can't worry about this. I trust you. You know what I need. And I thank you for your goodness. And I thank you for your faithfulness. And there's something about when you just get real before God, he begins to just bestow this peace upon you. And that peace is not an emotion, it's not a feeling, it's a person, and his name is Jesus, who's the Prince of Peace. So God, what we got to do, we just follow the scripture. I'm going to do my best not to worry about anything. Listen, this ain't going to fix it overnight. This takes time to practice. That's why they're habits. That's why he says in a moment, you'll read, he says, practice this. So I'm not going to worry about anything. I'm going to pray about everything. And I'm just going to lose my mind and begin to thank God in all things. And then verse 7, look what it says. Then. See, when you see that word then, he's referring to something before that. Then, if you pray about everything, you don't worry about anything and thank God in all things, then you will experience God's peace. You experience God's presence in your life, which exceeds anything that we can understand. And then his peace will guard your heart and your mind as you live for Christ, because this is the battlefield. This is what the enemy wants. And so when I begin just to fix my thoughts on him, he begins to guard my heart and my mind, which won't trigger all those stress hormones in my body. And so I'm going to guard my heart, guard my mind. And then he goes in verse 8, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. He says that, you know he's a preacher, because after he said that, he goes and keeps preaching. So he's not coming to the end just yet. So one final thing, fix your thoughts on what is true, on what's honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise, which leads us to my fourth practical tip for you if you want to overcome worry, and that's think about good things. Think about good things. What you fill your mind with will determine your stress level. Some of you need to go home and delete people right now on your cell phone, because they just raise your blood pressure. You just see their number, like, oh, you're going to voicemail. And then you're like, oh my gosh. Then you start to worry that they know that you only rung one time and you sent them the voicemail. Oh my gosh, oh wait a minute. They know I just did that. I'm in trouble. They're going to ask me. And now you're up all night because they know you sent them the voicemail. Just do what I do, let it ring and put on silent. Anyway. Pastor Daniel's just not available right now. I just didn't answer it. When you get garbage in your mind, you'll get garbage out your life. We talk about that all the time. And then the Bible gives you 8 things to test the things that come into your mind. 8 things that you should begin to test these with. He says, if it's true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or worthy of praise, let these things in your mind. Now you know why I don't watch the news? Really? Fill my mind with that junk? All I need to know what the weather is. Now, I married a weather woman because she tells me every day, until Alexa came to our house. That is awesome. Homegirl, you just ask her anything. She's like, yes, sir, Daniel, because I tell you right now, it's going to be 87 degrees. I'm like, whoa, what? And yes, I like this girl. I don't know why you bring snow in April, but anyway, it's awesome. So what is true and honorable and right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, worthy of praise? You know what that is? Jesus, his word. When I begin to worry, I get into the word. When I get up late at night and I feel my body just begin to tremble, I go to Psalms 91. If you want to know, that's my counselor. That's my therapy. I get to Psalms 91 and begin to read the promises of God. And there's something about when I begin to read those promises that peace becomes to me. Or I get up and I start singing, I'm no longer a slave to fear. My wife's like, what's going on? I said, I'm worshiping, girl. You keep down. And I just worship. She'll tell you. What is he doing over there? He's getting his worship on. That's right. Because I'm going to worship my way through that fear. I'm going to worship my way through that worry. And I'm telling you, the same is for you. Listen, I am no different. We will have our trials. We will have our sorrow. We will have tribulations. We will have struggle. You will get stressed. You're human. It's life. But it's not God's will for us to live in constant stress when he's given us away. And practical tips to work through it. So I'm going to think about good things. I'm going to keep my mind on the word. I'm going to keep my mind on Jesus. Even when my body doesn't feel it, I'm going to keep my thoughts fixed towards him. And then he goes on and says this. This is good. This is our last point. In Philippians 4:9, look what he says. Keep putting into, don't miss that word, practice. Keep doing it. You're going to go home and you read through your list and go, okay, I did it. Where's the peace? Keep doing this. You may go through this a while and things are going good in your life and then all of a sudden you get shot with something you got to worry about and you pull your notes out, but wait, okay, let me go through this. I'm going to not worry. I'm going to focus. Okay, I got to start thanking God. God, I thank you. And then watch, it's a practice. Keep practicing. All that you've learned and received from me and everything you've heard from me and saw me do or were doing. And then God of peace will be with you. How I praise the Lord that you are concerned, that you're worried about me again. I know you have always been worried, you've been concerned for me, because you didn't have a chance to help me. But listen, not that I was ever in need. I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on a little, college student, and I know how to live on abundance. I know that. I've done that. So here's the fifth thing to practice that we see here in the text is be content with everything. Be content with anything and where you are in your life. I'm just going to be content. Now, you think about contentment. Contentment doesn't mean I don't have any ambition. Contentment doesn't mean you don't set goals. Contentment don't mean you don't have dreams that you want to fund. You want to fund your dreams? Don't miss next Sunday. I'm not talking about that. Contentment says this: I'm not waiting on a new marriage to be happy. I'm not waiting on marriage in my singleness to be happy. I'm not waiting on more money to make me happy. I'm not going to wait on a new job to make me happy. I can do it now. That's what it means to be content with whatever comes your way. So you don't have to worry about things that you don't have. And then he says this, learn. Put into practice and learn. How do you learn contentment? How do you do that? How do you learn to be content? Real quick, this could have been a whole sermon. I'm going to give you 3 points in the middle of a message, in the middle of a message. Here it goes right here. 3 points. Real quick. Stop comparing yourself to other people. You want to be content? Stop comparing yourself. You know why a lot of us worry about stuff? We worry about things we don't have because we want to be like to somebody else. Stop comparing yourself. Well, they got a degree, and they got that job, and they got that girl. How did he get that girl? And you begin to worry. Listen. Stop comparing yourself. There's no one like you, and there'll never ever be anyone like you. You're so unique. Stop comparing yourself to anybody else. Number two, be grateful. Get an attitude of gratitude. Be thankful. God, I thank you for what I thank for what I do. Listen, you know, I got to preach to myself. Some of you like that. I knew you were crazy. That's right. I preach to myself. I have to stand up sometimes and look in the mirror and say, but God, you've called me, you anointed me, and you told me to go preach the word. I know how I feel, but I trust you in spite of how I feel, and I will go. Though you slay me, I will go. I'm going to go right now. I'm going to get up and go. I got to preach to myself. And I begin to thank God for all of his goodness. So I'm not going to compare myself. I'm going to be grateful. And watch this. I'm going to serve other people. When you begin to serve other people, it takes your eyes off of you. And you begin to focus on other people. And you'll begin to cultivate this attitude of gratitude in your life of being content. Now, I know what some of you are saying. Pastor Daniel, thank you so much for the message today. And I don't know why I'm talking like that. I just, some of my reason comes to my mind when I think about you talking to me. I don't know. But I'm a worrier. And my mama was a worrier, and my grandma was a worrier, my great-great-great-great-grandma was a worrier. I just worry. It's in my blood. I just worry. I can't do this. I can't do this. And you know what's so ironic? Is that God knew you would say that. The Apostle Paul knew today you would say, I can't do that. I can't stop it. It just goes in my mind. I just can't stop. He knew you would say that. So look what he says in verse 12. He's got an answer for you. He says, I've learned the secret of living in every circumstance, every situation. I've learned the secret. When he says that, that would be like the guys on Shark Tank going, I know the secret how to run your business to be a multi-million dollar company. You're like, okay. He says, I've learned the secret to live in every circumstance of life. What is it? Well, what is it? He says this, look what he says. I know it's on a full stomach or an empty stomach, plenty or little. Here's the secret. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. That's the secret. I know you can't stop worrying, but with Jesus you can. I know you don't have enough of strength to face tomorrow, but with Jesus you do. He is our source. He is our overcomer. That word overcome means to get victory. Jesus has victory in the world, and guess what? He gives victory to you. You already won. You're already victorious. I am an overcomer in Jesus. Paul is saying, with Jesus, I can overcome anything in my life. With Jesus, I can overcome anything. You have the power within you. You just have to activate it by your faith. And you could become an overcomer. You, my friend, have the victory. And I know what you're saying. Listen, if you're a Christian here today or watching online and you're a believer, you have already overcome the world because Jesus has. You already have victory. Even though you don't see it, believe it, or feel it, you already have it. But if you're here today and you don't know Jesus and you don't believe, and I'm going to talk about an intellectual belief. I'm talking about a belief that changes your life. How do I know I truly believe? The belief changes my life. You may, oh, I believe he's God's son, or I believe in God, but do you have the belief that changes your life? Even the devil believes. Even the demons believe. Yeah, but they won't surrender their life to Jesus. So do you have the right belief? Because without Jesus, you'll never overcome this. You'll never be victorious in this area of life. Listen, I'm going to close with this. 1 John 5:4, look what he says. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. You've been born again, you're overcome the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. It's our faith that makes us victorious. So who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. That's the one that overcomes the world. So here's my question. Do you believe? I'm not talking to intellectual. I'm talking, do you believe intimately that Jesus is the Son of God? Because if you do, you can become an overcomer. Do you want victory in your life? Then you need to give your life to Jesus. Why? Because there's victory in Jesus. Does anybody want to stand and sing that one with me? There's victory in Jesus. He's the only one. And if you want victory in your life, you got to run to Jesus. I'm going to ask if you would just to bow your heads. If you're here and you're struggling, we all do, with worry. You have some five practical things you can begin to incorporate in your daily life. Pick one of the things you worry about and begin to run it through this process. You ain't gonna fix it overnight, but you'll begin into a habit to work through the worry in your life. And if you're here and you don't know Jesus, like you haven't put your faith and trust in Jesus and believe in Jesus with the right belief, you're not overcoming the world. Because only through Jesus can you overcome this world. And so what I'm gonna do right now is I'm gonna give you a chance to respond and to become an overcomer. And if you wanna give your life to Jesus, whether you're watching online or you're in the house today, I'm gonna walk you through a prayer. I want you to pray with me. Now listen, saying a prayer won't save you, but your lips can proclaim what your heart declares. And if your heart declares that Jesus is the Son of God, He did get up out of the grave, you will be saved. So if that's you, I want you to pray with me right now. To say, Jesus, I believe that you are an overcomer, that you came for me, that you died for me, and you got up out of the grave for me. And today I ask you to forgive me of all my sin. And I put my faith and trust in you. Now help me overcome the world. Help me have victory in my life that only comes through you. Now I want to believe, like several people in the first service or several here, and you prayed that with me. And so I want you to do something pretty bold right now. If you prayed that with me, here's what I want you. I want to pray for you. I want to know. If you prayed that, I want you to get your hand up. Come on. You prayed that. Get it up. You don't have to be embarrassed. Get your hand up. You have nothing to be ashamed. Get your hand up. I want to be, look at all over the place. Get those hands up. You know what? Let's take this a step further. If you pray with me and raise your hand, I want you to stand up right now. Come on, stand up. Show the world that you are an overcomer. That's right. Look here, church. Look at the people overcoming the world. You have nothing to be embarrassed about. You have nothing to be ashamed of. I'm proud of you. Look at them in the back standing up. All over this place. Listen, you stay standing. I'm not here to embarrass you. The only reason why you have the power to stand is because the Holy Spirit's in you and gave you the courage to overcome worrying what anybody thinks. And listen, the Bible tells us, and we're going to lose our mind here just in a moment. Listen, the Bible tells us that when one person repents of their sins and gives their life to Jesus, everyone goes crazy. So here's what we're going to do. Every one of you stood up, and just in a moment when we begin to worship and stuff, and we're going to scream our heads off for you, if you would, in just a moment, make your way to the Red Room, we have a resource we want to give you and just let you know we're praying for you and we just want to love on you and say, we got your back, we're here for you. We love to pray that with you. So here's what we're going to do. Church, can we stand up and lose our mind for what God just did today, this morning? Come on.
Thank you for joining us online today. If while watching this message, you were led to take a next step or made the decision to start following Jesus, we would love to celebrate with you. You can let us know on our website at betterlife.church/next-steps. To stay connected throughout the week, download the Better Life app, available on any major platform. Lastly, if you're interested in supporting what God is doing in this ministry, you can give online at betterlife.church/give now. We're praying that you have a great week, and we hope to see you again soon.